Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Liwa Gavaza, and for today, we are highlighting another business that's in the tech field. One of the big reasons why we decided to talk to this particular business is because screening thousands of people every day is likely to be something that's going to continue to put a huge strain on resources as the country works towards strengthening the sustainability of prevention measures. You've got workplaces, public transport hubs, and other public areas such as hospitals and clinics. And they actually have a new device which is actually available here in South Africa, which is being used to try and make mass screening of people easier, especially in densely populated residential areas where social distancing is difficult to maintain and there is a high risk of infection. So local company Granule Holdings actually started distributing smart helmets to actually monitor people for high temperatures in the fight against COVID-19. And that's the conversation we're going to be having with the founder and CEO of Granule Holdings, that is Jeremy Kopoya. Greetings to you, Jeremy. How are you?
Greetings, Madiwa. I'm good today. Thank you very much for asking. And greetings to the listeners.
No. Thank you so much for joining us for today. I think just as a point of departure, we've already heard that you guys are distributing the smart helmet. I understand it's called the KC N901 smart helmet that's actually can be used to scan the temperatures of up to 200 people every minute and has actually been received by authorities in China, Italy, the Netherlands, and places like Dubai. Can you give us just a little bit around what the helmet is about and how you guys actually got into the business of distributing it here in South Africa?
So, yeah, thank you very much. It's a very exciting story that we would like to share with you. Obviously, South Africa faced the pandemic and the epidemic as it did the globe at the time. And whilst we were in lockdown level 5, I managed to cut a snippet of a CNN article where the UAE were busy doing a white paper research paper looking to how they would implement the KC901 smart helmet, which grabbed my attention coming back from an area of expertise where I've been in for the last couple of years, which is commodities. We happen to have some relationships in Asia, and we started a discussion with KC to bring the KC901 to the people of South Africa. 3 or 4 weeks later, after finding some commercial charter space, we managed to get a few demo units into the country, and we started to understand how best we could deploy case studies, use studies, and with our financial marketing partners, we decided to take on the job of distributing the KC901 into South Africa.
I think, as part of it, it would be interesting to perhaps understand since then, because you're talking sort of level 5 into sort of level 4 certain times. How has the reception been since you got the demo units into the country? Are people really, interested? Because I can imagine that, with the spike in cases and all of that stuff, that there must be interest in trying to increase just the capacity of screening people.
You're 100% correct. We did find, obviously, because the logistical infrastructure under lockdown was quite a tedious process to work through. We found that since we've moved to level 3, a lot more attention, a lot more focus, a lot more demonstrations have now taken place. And the product, our first couple of units have gone into the aviation sector and the transportation sector. And we are currently in talks with big corporates, and we're in talks with some various ways of taking the KN901 smart helmet helmet to the next level. So KC Wearables has recently released a cloud-based system whereby you can now monitor through the helmets through a smart center, which would be able to orchestrate all the artificial intelligence requirements and basically give reporting models on whether it is an employee database that you are scanning, whether it's mass crown screening that you are scanning, or whether it's utilities where the KC901 could be used to scan the temperatures of utilities for utility services for service providers. So we're quite excited about the bolt-ons that have happened since the initial launch. KC has grown a presence quite strongly in other countries, specifically in airports around the world. It's been deployed with massive success and massive results.
I think the one thing that the listeners might, you know, benefit getting a description from you from is the actual helmet itself, how it actually works. I remember in my first conversation with you, I remember using the word RoboCop, you know, in our conversation, you know, because that's the imagery that was being conjured up, and subsequently seeing a video after that, you know, it sort of strikes me like a fighter pilot sort of helmet. And you know, can you give us just a little bit of description around what it actually does and the type of information it's able to actually gather for people perhaps at an airport?
Absolutely. So you're correct in your description. It does look very futuristic, but it's not meant to be an intimidating helmet because it's actually a pandemic fighting helmet. So the helmet consists of two cameras on the helmet. It's got a carbon fiber frame. And basically, it's a computer that you simplified that you would put onto your head that is controlled either by a standalone unit, which has a 64 gig memory space. It has Bluetooth functionality. It has Wi-Fi functionality. It has augmented reality and artificial intelligence. A couple of the key features that all come together quite beautifully with this is that this helmet has the ability to thermoscreen. We've said it a little bit earlier in the interview, up to 200 people per minute in a crowded scenario. It also has the ability to fever screen and check a database which is recognized through facial recognition or even license plate recognition. And this database through the augmented reality will appear up on a heads-up display inside the helmet. A control center or the software can allow for reporting to be uploaded either to the helmet's memory or alternatively on the new cloud-based system straight up to a server that a corporate would have in their control as a safety file. It also has the ability to generate an individual QR codes associated to an employee's facial recognition feature and therefore allow temperatures throughout the day to be scanned and checked. If in the event of a high temperature, a little ping will appear inside the helmet, which will alert the wearer of the helmet that a high temperature has been recognized. Now, obviously, applications change on different standard operating procedures within different applications and sectors and industry that we're busy working on. But a really impressive piece of tech, and the more we work with it, the more impressed we become with it.
It would be interesting to get, you know, an idea of what the feedback has been like, because you mentioned just now that, you know, since you received the units into the country, you've been having more and more demonstrations, you know, sort of showing the value and what it can do in real world situations. What type of feedback are you sort of getting from people, you know, whenever you show off what sounds to be a pretty impressive piece of technology?
You know, it's always very exciting unzipping the backpack that it arrives in because all the components are independently segregated and listed, and this backpack is a ready for deployment backpack by the time the consumer gets it. And once you switch it on, I've had experiences where people have danced in the room, people have been shocked and awe with how amazing and how aiding this technology can be right now. So it's a very, very exciting product to be representing, and we hope we can deploy more units relatively soon so that we can be more efficient and save the resource constraint that the company's facing, country's facing at the moment.
Okay. So on the business side, how are you guys what sort of arrangement do you have with KC Wearables in terms of their presence in South Africa? You know, are you the only ones distributing in the region? You know, all of those details. How is everything working on that front?
We are a master distributor for KC and country. We are also looking at other territories and other joint ventures and partnerships to roll out their products throughout SADC and eventually looking to roll it out through the AU. We are very proud to be working very closely with this brand, and we are very proud to be able to bring the servicing of these units and bring the marketing of these units with a proudly South African twist.
I'm then interested, like, what do sort of the costs look like? Because obviously this is not something that's consumer grade. So, you know, we sort of expect, you know, companies, government, organizations like that to be the ones that are going to be taking on you know, this technology. So what do the cost implications look like?
I think with anything in the technology space, the volume of the units purchased really determine the production discount that you're going to get from the end supplier. But currently, right now, a unit retail to an end user is probably about 150,000 rand. And the reason why I'm saying probably is that there's two unknowns. The rand currently in today's climate could be good or bad. And also the freight rates coming out of China, even though they've significantly decreased, there's still a bit of fluctuation on charter space and freight to get units into the country.
I think you've actually touched on something, because whilst you're talking about the rand, one cannot forget that as Granule Holdings, you guys are commodity traders. What actually inspires, you know, people that are, I guess, dealing with, you know, things like perhaps sugar, to get into a technology field? Do you sort of how has that challenge actually gone?
So I think to answer your question, I've always been up for a challenge, and the sugar business, coming from two big trade houses, two international trade houses, one American and one Swiss based. You know, you tend to look at the markets and identify the least risk transactions that you prepared to give appetite to, and then how you would want to proceed. I did not know that we were going to have a tech division prior to COVID, but I also did not know that COVID was coming. So I think the motivation was to be in a position, because our commodity company has a relatively strong balance sheet, that would allow us to research and bring this kind of technology to the average South African. So I think it's a partnership that works very, very well. We pride ourselves on being entrepreneurial. We've been in the trading space for 10 to 15 years. Actively in the soft commodities, and right now I think diversification and moving with the times is the only secret to success.
I think you're actually touching on something, because I want to switch very quickly to just understand, because one of our focuses on the Business Day Spotlight is, you know, how the economy works on a macro, and both a macro and micro level, you know, to sort of gain an insight, because, you know, you do have that experience, you know, in commodities. What has COVID actually done, you know, to the specific commodities that you guys actually trade in?
Well, COVID, strangely enough, COVID's enabled more frequent dispatches, and we're a sugar distribution company. So initially, in the first couple of weeks of lockdown, it was predominantly slow because everyone was trying to heed the president's call, first and foremost, and secondly, try to understand what their businesses were going to look like once restrictions were lifted. A lot of our clients that we supply are manufacturers, and obviously the retail space is a sector where everybody needed to still eat and everybody still needed to shop under lockdown. Even though we were restricted with access, you know, it was a necessity that needed to happen. So I think we have benefited in the space of being a distribution company since COVID's happened, but by no means do we just want to leave it there. We want to continue to refine and bring interesting and entrepreneurial angles to our client service delivery.
Yeah, no, it really does sound like it's an interesting time, you know, for any type of business right now, especially one that's looking to get into, you know, other areas. So I guess from a distribution point of view, now that you've taken on the KC helmet, how do you think some of that experience from the commodity side is likely going to help you, you know, put this product into the hands of as many corporations as possible in the local market?
Well, I think everything comes down to professionalism and relationship in the industry. So we have, being an international commodity trade house, we've got quite an international stretch of relationships that we could lean onto. And we've got an amazing and fantastic marketing team and a fantastic logistics team to get us these products. We are always keen to have a look at what could serve the country, how we could be involved, and what other really amazing tech products that we can continue to market within South Africa. So by no means is this going to be a one-hit wonder. We're looking at some new releases from Casey, and we're looking at growing the tech business and bringing innovative, amazing products to the people of South Africa that won't normally be able to access them.
It certainly sounds like, you know, there is a lot of room, especially for some of these more disruptive technologies. Just as an outlook on the economy, how are you feeling both locally and internationally? What are you seeing either in the technology space or in the commodity space? What are you worried about? What's keeping you up at night?
There are a lot of things keeping me up at night. I think we're in for very tough times over the next 3 to 5 years. There's a constant debate that happens globally, lives versus people being able to bring home a living. That conversation is not a new conversation. So where we need to be compassionate about the risks that we've got to mitigate under COVID, you know, there's a converse that happens on the entrepreneurial and microeconomic side of life, where, you know, there is a cost for the safety. So I think everybody is going to need to be prudent. Everybody's going to need to keep their overheads low, and everybody's going to need to fight for the business that they get, because I think with everybody having to have a reset, there will be a lot of competition in the market, and it's how you're able to adapt and embrace that will determine where you'll finish.
No, certainly does. And then I guess on a last point for you, where do you sort of see the future for one, the helmets, and also what other types of technology are you also interested in at the moment?
I think any technology that can save resource or add value in the tech space is definitely where we focused and where we're looking. I also have a personal passion for drones, but we haven't gotten to any arrangement on any drones. But that's the kind of tech that I like, and I like doing what I enjoy doing in my spare time. So I think that's definitely going to be a focus. If we can loop everything into everyone being a winner, that's certainly going to be the product that we're going to want to market.
Okay, cool. So that's been us with Jeremy Kopoya, who is the founder and CEO of Granule Holdings, telling us a little bit around the KCN901 smart helmet, which is a product that they recently started distributing in the country, sort of to help screening. It does, 200 temperature checks per minute for people, and it's able to take in a whole lot of information that people can then use to actually help keep people safe. He's also just telling us about the rest of their business, because in his words, he didn't know that their company would even have a technology division before COVID came along. But as long as there's technology that can actually help with the current problems, then he's actually interested in it. Also talking about the commodities business, which is the background that he's starting from. I'm just saying that it's been an interesting time. Just seeing what the sugar industry has done on that end. So Jeremy, how can people get in touch with you guys if they want to engage? Perhaps get demos of the product, and stuff like that.
Granule.co.za. We will leave contact details for our PR marketing company. Please feel free to reach out at any time you need to. And yeah, we're there to assist you, and we'd like to move forward. You can also find us on Facebook and on LinkedIn, Granule Holdings.
So you heard it right there.
This is Mudiwa's Tech.
Another fascinating technology conversation there, just around business. And one of the reasons why we've tended to focus on technology over the last couple of weeks in terms of some of our Wednesday conversations is simply because COVID-19 has actually brought about a lot of innovation in the way that people are trying to use technology to tackle problems, because one of the issues in business, entrepreneurship, whatever it is that you need to be out, you need to find ways to tackle the issues that are prevalent in society. And at the moment, there's nothing bigger than COVID-19, and it's been very fascinating to see the different ways in which people are attacking the different facets of what it means to live with COVID-19. Because here we're talking about a screening tool. And I remember a few weeks back we had a conversation just around COVID, having your status in a centralized system. And I think some of these products, because I can imagine a situation where you can have the KC smart helmet feeding temperature information, that temperature information about people's temperatures and health status and stuff like that, into some type of a centralized perhaps a Department of Health or Department of Home Affairs database, where you have IDs of people, and linked to those IDs you have temperature profiles, medical records and the like. And I think that's where technology actually helps, and this would be a good time to help to actually build robust let's say medical profiles on people across the country. Perhaps this is the time in which South Africa will be able to create, the type of medical records that you can just take, something on a QR code, and someone can literally go to any hospital around the country, simply either scan a QR code or a pin of some sort, and have instant access to your health records, to your medical history, instead of going to places and filling out forms and then trying to get questions about pre-existing conditions. And I think it saves a lot of time, a lot of energy, and more importantly, a lot of money at the end of the day. The only concern, though, in all of this stuff is, one, do we have the capacity to actually implement some of these systems? Because the issue is about having cooperation between different parties. That's the first one. And the second big issue is just the perhaps some of the privacy concerns that does South Africa not become, you know, a sort of like a big brother state, you know, sort of these dystopic images that you get around perhaps the state or perhaps third-party technology companies or something like that having way too much knowledge and information, personal information on people, because that information has to be stored somewhere, it has to be managed by someone, and we have to make sure that it is secure and doesn't go out. So all of these concerns, but more than anything, because personally, as a lover of technology, business and economics, it just makes sense that this would be a good moment to put all of these systems together as a way to help people's lives, makes people's lives easier, make the state's job easier, just make the daily struggle of, you know, accessing healthcare easier, but at the same time just being mindful of some of the concerns in the industry. So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's on the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. And remember that on Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. You can also review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mdiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.